We consider this evening a text from Psalm 55, and to that end, let's read that psalm together, Psalm 55. Psalm 55, we'll consider for the sermon tonight, verse 22 of this psalm. This is God's word to us this evening. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust indeed. So far we read God's word. Let's read together again verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you and what do I do with the burdens of this earthly life? It's that question that we face from the Word of God tonight, which teaches us what we are called to do with the burdens of this earthly life. As we go through this life with the burdens that we have, the Word of God tells us this evening that this is what we must do with them. We cast them upon the Lord. And we do so with the confidence that He will sustain us. We come together tonight as a congregation that has burdens. And it's in light of that that I bring this word to us as a congregation this evening. You look at the bulletin, and there's a couple of announcements that indicate particular burdens for particular families in the congregation. In addition to that, we hear the announcement that was read this morning regarding our sister congregation in Edmonton. And we realize, as those who love our denomination with all that is going on, that it's a burden to us as we think about these things in the churches that we love. And then beyond that, we know that many of us face burdens that only a few people may know about, but yet are very real to us day after day after day. And not only that, in this past week, I had thought about preaching from Psalm 55 for prayer day. It's a psalm that says much about prayer. I chose not to in order to focus more on a text that spoke to praying for our earthly necessities, but it was a passage in light of this past week that has been on my mind. And so tonight we take a break from the series in Philippians in order to hear this particular word of God at this particular time. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord. That's the main idea of Psalm 55:22. Let's see in the first place the burdens that we bear. In the second place, let's see the calling, which is to cast them upon the Lord. And then in the third place, let's conclude by a consideration of the promise that God gives to us in this passage. And that promise is the second part of the text, that He will sustain His people. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, the burdens, the calling, and the promise. The text speaks of burdens. That's what we cast upon the Lord. And the main idea of a burden is that which we must carry. And implied in the meaning of the word burden is that what we have to carry is something heavy, something difficult, and something that makes you tired and weary. The burdens are of a spiritual nature primarily, but the idea of a burden can be illustrated by thinking of something physical. It's something actually that you have to put on your back and carry. Something very heavy that you have to carry over a long period of time and a journey that you take. It's not that you have a backpack on and in that backpack you put a feather in it, so that you don't even know that that feather is in that backpack. That's not the nature of a burden. A burden is that in that backpack are rocks, heavy rocks that you have to carry with you as you take your journey down a path. As we go down our path in this Christian life, we do so with rocks that fill the backpack that we have to wear spiritually and emotionally and at times physically as we make our journey through this life. The writer of Psalm 55 was David, and David, as is clear from the entirety of the psalm, had heavy burdens. And so let's talk about what this was for David, which leads to the end of the passage that talks about what he did with those burdens that he bore. It's clear from the beginning of Psalm 55 that David was going forth at a time in which he had enemies that sought his life. We can say that this was the time, I think this is a legitimate way to interpret the passage, that this was the time when his own throne was being usurped, so that there were enemies that were against what was the will of God for Israel at that time and the kingship that God had determined David would have. And that was a burden to David that that was taking place. And then to throw a few more rocks in the backpack that was his burden, it was the fact that the one who was usurping the throne was his own son, Absalom. not just any person in Israel, not some Moabite, for example, that comes in and tries to take over the kingdom of Israel, but his own son rebelling against what was the will of God for Israel at that time. And then to throw a few more rocks in the backpack that was his burden to make it all the more difficult, you read in the middle of Psalm 55 about one who was his close friend that abandoned him and turned on him and became part of the enemy that sought to destroy him. We read that in verses 12 through 14. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it him that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. This is likely a reference to Ahithophel, who was one of the trusted guidance or one of the trusted counselors of David and a good friend of David. And Ahithophel turned on David in the very way that this text describes it. And this is prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ and what one of his close disciples, Judas Iscariot, would do to him. But all of that taken together was the burden that David was bearing at this particular time in his life. And the beginning of Psalm 55 explains what that burden did to him. Verses 4 through 8, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. David was experiencing a heavy burden at this time in his life. And beloved, the fact is that for you and me, as we gather together for worship tonight, we too bear heavy burdens. This is a reality for the people of God on this side of the grave. And not just a reality, but this is the expectation, too, that we should have. We mustn't be surprised at the fact that as Christians walking through this earthly life, as we make our journey to heaven, that we are going to do so bearing heavy, heavy burdens. If someone were to come into this building for the first time, not knowing anything about the Christian faith, and ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian? Our response to them would not be, oh, it's a very, very easy, easy thing to be a Christian. Our response to them would not be some form of the prosperity gospel that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess faith in Jesus Christ, that all of a sudden your life becomes very, very easy on this side of the grave. That is not what our response would be. And this is not to say, very, very clear here, this is not to say there is not joy, that there is not happiness, that there is not great gladness in being a Christian. There is. We're taking a break from Philippians tonight. We're going to come back to Philippians, and we're going to see in the course of that series extended treatment on the subject of Christian joy. Christian joy that is in the Lord. Christian joy that is in the midst of great suffering, pain, and sorrow. And that's the message of the gospel. Not that one who is a Christian no longer experiences hardship, trials, and difficulties and burdens. But the message of the gospel is that the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and is the object of the grace of God in the midst of those sorrows, difficulties, and burdens can yet have joy, happiness, and hope. The answer to that question, what is it like to be a Christian, is not. It's very, very easy. Instead, it's Psalm 34, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And that is true, because the burdens that we bear all go back to the fact that we live in a fallen world of sin. And in that fallen world of sin, we live as those who themselves are sinners. When you look at any of the burdens that we bear, and we'll apply this a bit more specifically out of what we said about David. But with any of the burdens that we bear, when you trace them back to why they are present in our lives, the answer to that is because we live in a fallen world of sin and we ourselves are sinners. Now, I want to be very clear here when I say what I just said. I am not saying that the particular burden that you may be bearing right now is on account of a particular sin that you have committed. So that any burden that we may have is traced to the consequence of a particular sin that you have committed. I'm not saying that that is the case for the burdens that you bear at this time. That may be the case. But if that is the case, you will know it. And I will know it. It will be abundantly clear from God to us, in light of the sin and its consequence, that this burden is the consequence for this particular sin, and that God is teaching me by this consequence, He's humbling me by this consequence, and He's constantly leading me by this consequence to Jesus Christ and to my need for Christ and my strength found in Christ alone. You will know that because of the nature of the sin and the nature of the consequence. And don't, in your mind, wrongly be looking for it. This is what I'm going through, and because I'm going through this, it must be tied to something I did at some time, maybe in the near past or in the distant past. You will know when that is the case. So I want to be very clear about that. But that doesn't undermine the point that I'm making. And the point that I'm making is that the reason in the end for the burdens of this earthly life, they all come down to a fallen world of sin. In the midst, therefore, of the enemies of the church who hate God and hate through the truth, and we ourselves who are sinners. You think about David. David's burden was on account of the fact that there were enemies who sought his life. In a physical way, that was true for David as he was on the run during much of his time as his throne was being usurped, wondering if the enemies were going to find him and destroy him at last. That physical reality for David points us to the spiritual reality that is true for us. And why is that the case for us? That's the case for us because we live in a fallen world. God has saved us. We are numbered among the people of God. But there is a devil that seeks to inflict pain upon us. And there are enemies who seek our hurt and destruction. And that may be the cause of serious, heavy burdens that we face or will face in the future. And then the fact that every single day there is the weight of sin that bears down upon us, that greatest enemy of sin that we need relief from day after day after day. But then in addition to that, you think about all of the things that we go through in this life. And what we go through in this life all gets traced back to the reality of being in a fallen world of sin. And we have to face the burden of death, whether it's our own death or the death of the loved one, which leads us to mourn and grieve when that loved one is no longer with us. Why do we have to go through that? We have to go through that because we live in a fallen world of sin. Death is here because of sin. That's not to say there is not hope, victory, joy, even in the face of death. But the reason it's here is because we live in a fallen world of sin. Think about the burdens of relationship difficulties. We have those at times in our lives where it's a heavy burden when there's strife between loved ones or strife between family members. And you go to the root of it. And what's the root of it always? It always goes back to sin. And I don't want to spend the next 15 minutes going through all of the types of burdens that we face. Physical infirmities, same thing. The breakdown of the body on account of it being in a fallen world. I don't want to go through all of the things we face. This is where you take the Word of God and you apply it to your life. And you see what it is for you at this particular time and what it is for all of us as we bear the burden of sin day after day after day. Such is the life of the Christian in this world. And that, to give us a glimpse of what is to come for us, is why heaven is what it is. There won't be these burdens anymore, because there won't be sin anymore. There won't be death anymore. There won't be pain anymore. There won't be strife anymore. There won't be enemies anymore. There won't be the devil anymore. But there will be Christ as Savior and the glory of God in Him. But on this side of the grave, such is our lives as Christians. With that being the reality, comes the importance of the calling. And the calling of the text with respect to those burdens that we have is that we are to cast those burdens upon Jehovah. God says very clear to us tonight, this is what you do for all of those burdens. Not just for some of them, not just for most of them, but God says for all of them, take them and cast them upon Me. Notice at the outset of this second point of the sermon that it comes to us in the form of a command. Cast. That's a command. That's a calling. Your burdens upon the Lord. And we need to hear that as a command. We need to hear that as a command because this is what we must do. This isn't like going to a doctor and saying to the doctor, here are my symptoms. And the doctor, in response to hearing what you describe to him, says, okay, patient, here are three options that we can go down in order to treat the symptoms that you have. Option one, option two, option three. In light of what you have, each has its pros, each has its cons. You figure out whether or not this is what you want to do, or this is what you want to do, or this is what you want to do. God doesn't say to us tonight, burdened people, here are a few options for what to do with the burdens that you face, whatever the burden may be. Here's one thing you can do for them. Here's another thing that you can do for them. Here's another thing that you can do for them. Take your pick, what you're comfortable with. No. He says, this is what you do. You cast them upon Me. That's what you do with the burdens of this life. And the reason we need to hear this as a command too is because we know our own sinfulness. which is to do everything but cast them upon the Lord and instead take the burdens of this earthly life and try to cast them upon something else. And you understand what the purpose of casting them upon the Lord is. The purpose of casting them upon someone is to find relief, to find strength, to find what we need in the face of the burden that we are bearing. And the reason we need to hear this as a command is because it is in each and every one of us, according to our sinful nature, to find that relief, to find that strength, to find what we need in the face of the burden of this life in something other than God. And that's idolatry at its core. To go to something, to go to someone and seek that thing or person to give you the relief and the strength to walk down in light of the burden that you have. And in a certain sense, where do you want to begin as you try to make that a little bit more specific? We all have it. We all have that thing that we have a propensity to turn towards in order to seek relief from the burdens of this earthly life and from the burden of the guilt of our sin. Maybe it's you bury yourself in front of a screen. You pull up Netflix, you pull up whatever you want to pull up, and you bury your eyes in that screen because you know there's a whole other world that's being presented to me in this screen. And for 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 hours at a time, I can simply escape from the reality of this earthly life and the burdens that I have to bear, and it gives me a sense of relief at least for 2 to 3 to 4 hours while I'm engrossed in what is on that screen. Maybe it's a substance. And in the context of a passage like this, this is very applicable, that you turn to a substance in order to make yourself feel better for a little while, to take the edge off of the difficulty of this earthly life. And you go down that path a few steps, then that alligator that's off to the side is going to grab you. And once that alligator gets a hold of you, it's the strength of that alligator jaw that comes down upon you. And it becomes incredibly difficult, except by the grace of God and the strength of God, to be delivered from that addiction to a substance in order to find relief from this earthly life. Maybe it's shopping in a store or online where you go and you just got to buy, because when you buy, you get a little feel-good sense and it gives you some escape. Maybe it's sports, an applicable point right now, as this week begins another year of March Madness, where you just get engrossed in everything that has to offer to escape the realities of this earthly life. You see the necessity of hearing this as a command. All of those things that I mentioned, some of them are explicitly sinful, some of them are not. We know what we say about those things that are explicitly sinful. For those that are not explicitly sinful, you ask the question, why? There's nothing wrong with taking in a basketball game to enjoy that for a little while. Nothing wrong with that at all. But if you're doing it to escape and find relief from the burdens of this earthly life rather than to be refreshed so that I can continue my calling and work before God faithfully, then it becomes a problem over there. There's an even good purpose. in the entertainment and things that we do outside of work, in order to be refreshed, in order to do our work. It comes down to why. Why are we turning to this at a particular time? And so we hear it as a command, because we need to hear it as a command. The command is, no, don't. In the face of the burdens of this life, seek relief and strength with anything that this world has to offer. It may give the illusion of it for a time, but it's not lasting and it doesn't endure. This is the Word of God. God says, don't turn to that. Don't turn to that. Turn to Me. Cast your burdens upon Me. And now look at the text. Know who it is that God says to cast our burdens upon. It is the Lord. All capital letters in Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burdens, the Word of God says tonight, upon Jehovah. It is so important for us this evening to know the One upon whom we cast the burdens, because that makes all the difference in the world. This is why we can cast them upon God. This is why the second part of the text is going to be true, the third point of the sermon. It's because we cast them upon Jehovah. And everything that name means is critically important in light of the truth of this text. He is the Eternal One. I am that I am. He is the unchanging One. As the I am that I am. Malachi 3:16, or 6 rather. I am Jehovah. I change not. Nothing about Him changes. And as Jehovah, He is the covenant God of His people. The One that God says, cast your burdens upon Me, Jehovah, am the God who has united you to Myself in covenant love and friendship through the sending of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His death and resurrection from the dead. This is the God who has saved us. This is the God who has delivered us out of guilt, out of our sin. This is the God who says, I am your friend. And I will forever be your friend in the face of Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior. We need to know the One upon whom we cast our burdens. And as that covenant God, He is faithful. Forever faithful. Perfectly faithful. And will never, ever abandon His people. That Jehovah we are to cast our burdens upon. This is one of the most striking ways in which the Bible speaks about prayer. Throw your burdens to Jehovah, literally is what it says. Fling them to the heavens, figuratively speaking, upon Jehovah. That's the idea. Take every burden that you have, and by the lips of your mouth or in your mind as you speak to Him, bring them to Jehovah. Take them off of yourselves by bringing them to the Lord in prayer. And every single burden that you bear has a particular petition that goes along with it. Everything can be and everything must be brought to the Lord. With that giant burden of sin that clings to us every single day, and the guilt of that sin that is before our minds every single day, God says, cast that upon Me. Bring that sin in confession in the name of Jesus Christ, and know that it is forgiven through the precious blood of Jesus. Mourning the loss of a dear loved one, bring that burden to the Lord and say to God, God, I need help right now. I need help so that I am assured by your promises. Give me hope in the face of death. Give me strength to press on without that loved one who may have died recently or a long time ago. Because you alone as God are able to work that in me in the midst of this burden. In the face of the burden of relationship, strife, and difficulty, Lord, give me understanding and give me humility and give me an understanding of my own sin so that I can say with Paul, I'm the chief of sinners, in humility deal with my brother or sister, and Lord, do only what you are able to do in bringing us back together again in peace and in unity. In the face of a wayward friend or a wayward son, Lord, I bring my needs before thee. I need at this time to know that thy way is right and good. I need to know that thou art sovereign. Thou art always faithful, that thy plan is always perfect, and help me to take that truth from thy word, which is so true, and live out of that so that I trust in thy plan and in thy way in midst of this heavy burden of seeing a friend or a loved one or a family member walk outside of the Church of Jesus Christ and without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and a life of repentance. In holiness. It's taking all of those burdens, the enemies that seek our hurt, and bringing them to the Lord in prayer. And saying, Lord, help me. Give me peace. Give me strength in the face of this burden. And this is not selfishness in prayer. To do what the text says is not having the mindset of a selfish man or woman that makes prayer all about me. Not when this is done in the right way. Because understand that believing the truth of Psalm 55:22, and by the Spirit worked in you tonight, taking the burdens of your life and bringing them to the Lord, what you are doing by that very act is confessing who God is and worshiping the God of the Scriptures and honoring that God for who He is. You're saying by this, Thou art God, and God alone. Thou art Jehovah, faithful, covenant, Father, and friend. Thou art the only one who is able to protect me in the face of enemies and lift me up when I am downcast and give me strength in that which I need strength for in this earthly life. By doing this, you are confessing, and you are confessing clearly and powerfully, God is God, and I am not, and I need His help. And that in and of itself is worship, is praise, is honoring to the God of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's made all the more clear when you realize what you're saying when you don't do this. And when I don't do this. The burdens of this life, enemies attacking us, sin bearing down upon us, strength in the face of death, understanding in light of a wayward friend or family member. If you don't do this, what are you saying? What you're saying by that is, I can do it. I can muster up the strength. I'll be okay. I don't need anybody else. I'm going to grit my teeth and bear through this. Or I'm going to find relief in something else. By not doing this, the confession that you're making is that I am God. Or something else is my God. But by doing this, you are confessing God is God. And He alone is able truly to lift me up underneath the burdens of this earthly life. And so, beloved congregation, cast them upon the Lord. This isn't a one-time thing. A few verses prior to our text, evening and morning and noon, I cry unto the Lord in prayer, and He hears me and answers my prayer. Every day, throughout the day, throughout our whole life, with whatever the burden may be, whether it's making another sermon for the week to come, carrying out your callings that you have to carry out in this week, dealing with that particular hardship at that time, or whatever it else may be. Be men. Be women. Be young people. And even be children. Children. You do this too. Who pray to God. And seek God in the midst of our needs. And so there is a very important taking the Word and applying the Word and living the Word in this week to come. So that we, with renewed zeal, with renewed energy, become a people who don't abandon prayer, to give our lives to prayer and seeking God's help in the face of the struggles of this earthly life. And if you can't pray, if you look at this text and you say in response to it, I can't do that right now. And then you realize you've got a body of believers and you have family and you have friends and you have elders and you have a pastor who will pray with you, who will help you, because that's what you need. Not all those other things that we can flee to. Not other people that will just talk about certain things. But you need people that with you will say, we're going to the Lord together. Because by this we're humbling ourselves. We're saying we can't do this ourselves, and we need God, and we need His Spirit, and we need His Word to help us bear up underneath the burdens of this life. That is the case for times for God's people where they can't. But together we can, and together we will be a people who take the burdens of this life and bring them before the Lord. And we do this because with this comes the promise of God. The promise of God that He shall sustain me. And that He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The promise is not that that burden is going to be altogether removed. If you bring it unto the Lord, that this particular burden is never going to appear again in your life. No, the language of the text is you will be sustained. And you will not be moved. You will not be destroyed. You will not be defeated. God promises to give strength to His people in the way of our bringing the burdens that we have before the Lord in prayer. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. The righteous. That's who we are in the sight of God. We are righteous in Jesus Christ. We are the people of God whom Christ died for, whom Christ has saved, whom Christ has earned everlasting life in the world to come in the new creation. For those, God promises, this will never be the case. You will not be crushed. You cannot be crushed. You will not be moved. You will not be destroyed. But I promise. I promise because I'm Jehovah. I promise because I'm God. I promise because I'm faithful that you will be sustained and you will be kept through the burdens that you bear. In the way of our casting them upon Him, He will, He promises, sustain us. People of God, believe that. Believe that with all your heart. Believe that as the true need that we have. We need God. We need His strength. We need His help. And so whatever burden it is that you're bearing right now, known to many or known only to yourself, don't just think about it. Don't just talk to others about it. Don't just read about it. And don't flee from it. Take it. Take it morning, noon, and evening. Take it to the Lord. And say, Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. Lord, sustain me. So that I can continue to put one foot in front of another in the journey of this earthly life, confident that whatever the burden is, it will never separate you from God's love, and that the devil will never be victorious, and that the enemies will never reign. In the end, David was saved. God kept him. And in the end, God will keep you. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt work this word in our hearts so that we are renewed to be a people who bring our burdens before Thee. And so work in our hearts by Thy Spirit so that though our sinful nature is inclined to turn to someone or something else, Thy Spirit would so work in us so that we are inclined now through the preaching of Thy Word to turn to Thee and to know that Thou wilt sustain us as we cast all of our burdens upon Thee. Thou art faithful to keep us, and we pray, do exactly that. And work powerfully through Thy Word tonight and bless us in this week to come. This we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.